And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet. The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I feel like I got a great show for you today because we're talking about the kids who were stuck in that cave over in Thailand. Then, of course, we're going to highlight an amazing charity up in Auburn, California. And, of course, we're going to bring in my favorite real estate professional, and that is Renee Nielsen. But before we get into all that, I want to ask you a very simple yet important question, and that is, have you ever in your life been in a cave? Because I got to tell you something. I was a wild and crazy kid living on Goya Street in Granada Hills. And not only have I been in a cave, but I was in a cave plenty. So as a kid, we had these caves in our neighborhood, and we would go in there and do things that kids like to do when mommy and daddy are not around. And I have to tell you something. I loved it. I loved hiding out in the cave. I loved partying in the cave. But here's the thing. The cave that I played in as a child, it was never flooded by water. I never felt like my life was in danger, unlike the soccer team in Thailand, who we refer to as the Wild Boars. Well, let me tell you something. My producer, Mike, and I, we want to change the name of their soccer team, and I'm going to call them the Wild Boys in a Cave. Because I cannot, for the life of me, understand why in the world would their assistant coach, who is 25 years old, I believe, take these kids, ages 11 to 16, in a cave, where if, God forbid, it started to rain, monsoon, whatever, death was certain. And when I talk about death, I'm not talking about a quick death, one that you and I aspire to have. I'm talking about a death in a cave with bats and rats and no food and no flashlights and your friends on your team dying of starvation. So that's why I want to know what compelled these people, these kids, to go in that cave. And then you know what happened to me? I was reminded of who I am. I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and I'm a crazy kid at heart, and I would have went in that cave. So I understand that. And I understand that when you are on a team, a soccer team, a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team, you see, team sports are the best. And I encourage you to get your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews on teams. Of course, get them off the team if they're thinking about going in a cave. But that's what I love about teams. You see, we like to do rituals. We like to have bonding experiences, just like you may have had with a fraternity or with a sorority. And so I understand why they did this. They're thrill seekers. They're kids. They're invincible. The coach wanted to teach them that they can do anything. And guess what? Thank God that this coach has a happy ending, because I cannot imagine the mental anguish, the emotional anguish, the spiritual anguish these kids, the coach, and the entire region in Thailand must have experienced. And that's why I want to ask you my next question, which is, why did this story captivate you? Why did this story captivate America, your kids, other soccer teams, baseball teams, and the like? And I ask this question with all sincerity. Because you know what? You and I don't pay equal attention to the refugee camps out in Guyana. We don't even talk about all the kids that are dying in Africa. I mean, do you realize 800 kids die every day from malaria? And let's talk about the other, what, 100 kids a day who are dying from suicide? Might even be 200 kids. And we're not talking enough about the kids who are dying of pediatric cancer. The reason why we were captivated by this story, the reason why we don't give equal attention to other stories like the boat that capsized in Thailand during this entire experience, and no one bothered to talk about the 41 people who died. You see, the reason why is because we've become numb, and we are only now attracted to the stories that really have a human element to them that you can relate to. Because you know what? You turn the news on and everything you see is depressing. So I don't blame you. I'm just pointing out an important point that it would sure be great if we gave equal attention to stories that are just as compelling. Now that leads me to my next topic, and this is one that shocks me, okay? I do not understand how you, your kids, or I, me, my producer Mike, could have survived in that cave for 10 days without food, okay? I am dead serious. If I do not eat food every couple of hours, I'm grumpy. I'm starving. I mean, I'm like that Snickers candy bar commercial where I am honestly like a crazed fool. And I pity the fool. So I want to know, how did these kids and that coach survive for 10 days without food? Now, I realize that the coach had a little bit of water. I heard that he even brought a couple snacks. Well, when you got all those kids in that cave who need the water and need the snacks, that is going to run out quickly. And that's what I heard. I heard that these kids had no food, not a lot of water, not a lot of hope. And yet, you know what this coach did? He did not drink any water. He did not have any of the snacks. And instead, he led all of these kids in meditation. Yep, assistant coach is a Buddhist and he likes to meditate. So while these kids were crying, they were starving, they were mentally, emotionally, and physically spent, they lost hope, this assistant coach kept comforting them and asking them to meditate, to pray, to go deep within themselves so they did not give up. Because my question for you is pretty simple. What day would you have given up? I'm serious, because I consider myself to be a very strong woman, and I have been through things that have been utterly and completely devastating, just like you, just like my producer, Mike. However, I have never in my life been in a cave where there was no food, where I was stuck and I could have died, because I cannot imagine after one day, no food, 2 days, no food, 3 days, no food, and now the crying, and now the fear, and it's pitch dark. I mean, can you imagine the stress, the heartache, and what they felt? But I have got to tell you some great news about kids. You see, I am a kid at heart, and as you know, I love kids. Kids are resilient, and most kids can go through utter and complete hell without any hope in sight, and they can get through it. You see, that's the thing that I admire about these kids and this coach, is that they never gave up hope. Now, the thing that really bothers me about this entire cave ordeal is that a Navy SEAL actually died while trying to save these young kids. Now, of course, it could have been far worse. You and I right now could be talking about all of the kids dying and their coach, as well as a couple volunteers who risked their lives. You see, that is the human story that I admire and love about you. How can you rise to that level to sacrifice your life to save kids? Now, I've said this 100 times and I'm going to say it 100 more times. I would jump in front of a bullet for my nieces, my nephews, my great nieces, and my great nephews, because I love these kids. However, the Navy SEAL who died didn't know these kids, and yet he is no longer with us. His family lost him. So I want to make sure and respect, send my condolences, and say you are the hero in all of this. So guess what the lessons are that we can learn from all of this? First of all, if your kid plays on a soccer team, your kid plays baseball, football, I don't care what it is, I want you to know that I respect rituals. I respect chemistry. I respect doing things to improve the team, to connect all of us so that we can win games. However, I don't want you or any coach to risk the lives of youth in order to create that chemistry. Second, I believe that you are stronger than you think. I am stronger than I think. And when faced with situations that are horrifying, you can and will survive if you have support, if you believe, and you, of course, have the love of your mom. And I love my mom so much. The last thing I want to tell you is, Disney is going to make a movie. I guarantee it. And next year at about this time, you and I are going to talk about the movie that's probably going to be called The Wild Boars Who Made It Out of That Cave. Regardless, the bottom line is I am so happy and thrilled for the families, the children who made it. And I'm so grateful to see the human spirit and what we can do if we work together. All right, everybody, we've got a lot to discuss, including my closing segment that is about the city of Stockton and the fact that they are launching the Universal Basic Income Program in 2019. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Ronnie Deutsch will be back with more right after this.
The following segment on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by OIC Tax Services at 800-695-3010.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and this next segment is so exciting because I am talking about Peace Camp and the amazing organization, which is called the Auburn Hip Hop Congress. And you know who I brought in? I brought in Natalie and Rocky, the amazing people who have run it for the past 9 years. Good morning, Rocky. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Ronnie, for having us.
All right. So, Natalie and Rocky, I have a confession to make. I am so proud to be a part of your Auburn Hip Hop Congress. I think the work that you do for the kids in our area is meaningful and powerful. So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, so Rocky, I'd like to start with you. Can you first explain what is the Auburn Hip Hop Congress? Again, we're not talking politics. That just happens to be their name. What is it, and what exactly do you do for the children in our region?
Well, Ronnie, first off, thank you for having us. It's very exciting to be here on iHeartRadio with the one and only Ronnie Deutsch.
Okay.
So Auburn Hip Hop Congress is a chapter of a national nonprofit organization that started in 1997. Our organization utilizes the hip-hop culture to connect and empower people and communities from everywhere, basically proving that hip-hop is and can be a powerful and positive resource in very diverse settings, neighborhoods, communities, classrooms, you name it. Our chapter in Auburn is turning 9 years old in just under a week. July 17th will be 9 years we've been doing this work.
Yeah, again, Rocky, I commend you. I commend Natalie because you want to help children and you want to connect them through music, through arts, and through so many other amazing events. So let's talk about who runs the organization.
All right. Well, locally, Auburn Hip Hop Congress is run by myself and my beautiful wife, who I like to refer to as the brains of the operation. Our chapter's focus is to connect youth to their communities in real and meaningful ways, you know, through the use of music, arts, and hip-hop culture, as well as service and leadership opportunities.
And like you said, Rocky, as you know, children need help, right? They need to learn about music, arts, science. They need to learn about food. They need to play and have fun. How do you do this, and what type of programs do you actually provide?
You know, young people need these kind of outlets. We work with youth that are interested in expressing themselves musically and artistically, as well as youth in the at-risk settings. We have weekly programs in local schools, the library, the juvenile hall, and basically we bring artists and people with stories to share that range from learning and improving your artistry, following their dreams, everything that's hip-hop, to overcoming life challenges and helping others think about how they can tell their own story too.
Yeah, what I think is amazing, Rocky, is the fact that your program actually is in juvenile hall, because let's face it, those kids need help.
Yes, it's a beautiful opportunity for us to go in and you know, shine light, speak life into a darker place, and hopefully give them something that they can get into when they get out.
That's positive. Exactly, Rocky, because without hope, they're going to fail. Now, what other type of community events does the Auburn hip-hop community get involved with?
Well, Ronnie, we host and provide like meaningful opportunities all throughout the year, such as our Fourth Friday open mics that we do at the General Gomez Arts and Events Center, our Some Kind of Earth Day Festival, and our Martin Luther King Day, just to name a few. Oh, and Peace Camp.
Yeah, and there's Peace Camp, which gives me goosebumps. Hey, man, I've been to those open mic sessions, and I love them. I love the fact that these kids can sing. All right, so that leads us to my favorite camp in the entire Sacramento region, Natalie, and that is Peace Camp. Can you talk about Peace Camp?
Yes, Ronnie. This is truly a unique and amazing experience for everyone involved. Growing Peace Camp is an all-age camp. So we have programs for elementary school, junior high school, and they're all focused on promoting peace in the world. And we do this through teaching social skills, the value of friendship, how to work together. We also want to provide access to the arts and other cool experience that youth may or may not have the opportunity to do. We believe through exposing young people to arts and music, they get to learn about themselves and the world around them, maybe discover a skill or interest that they didn't know they had.
And Natalie, when I was at your peace camp last year, I noticed you had a lot of varying ages of these children. What age category do you think benefits the most? Is it the elementary school, the junior high, the high school? What are your thoughts on that?
Everyone from the youngest one to, we have 85-year-old grandmas helping at art tables. And so we build this community where, you know, it's so positive for everyone involved.
And Natalie, as you know, I have a very generous listener base. I've got an audience who loves kids, who is probably very impressed with the work that you do. What is your phone number? If someone wants to call you, volunteer, donate money, can you give your phone number, please?
My phone number is 530-368-4455. Very easy to remember, and my name's Natalie. That's 530-368-4455.
Now, Natalie, you are talking about a lot of different activities, but not all kids have the opportunity to participate because going to camp costs money. So can you talk about that?
Well, the coolest thing about this camp, in my opinion, is that no matter what the income, all youth have access. We don't turn away any families that can't pay tuition. So we have about 50% of the youth on full or partial scholarships, and then 50% of the youth who actually can pay a little extra towards the youth scholarship fund. Our community is amazingly supportive, so we come together each year, do some major fundraising to provide this top quality experience to young people from very different backgrounds.
And Natalie, I want to talk about how this camp has grown over the years, right? I mean, look at way back in the day when it started versus today. How many children do you believe will participate in the Auburn Hip Hop Congress Peace Camp this July?
So far we have about 165 kids enrolled in a waiting list with maybe about 15 to 20.
Natalie, I have a feeling that we're going to need more space because you'll have 1,000 kids at Peace Camp next year. All right, now let's talk about what actually goes on at camp, because last year when I was there, that opening song that you sang, can you remind me, what is the name of that song?
What Can One Little Person Do?
What Can One Little Person Do? I mean, it was so inspiring, Natalie. So please talk about what exactly do you do at the camp? And what do these kids do to have so much fun?
We create this world. It's this hands-on learning community. It's colorful. It's artistic. The youth get to participate in tons of different activities. Every morning they dance. Every morning they sing. They get to do yoga, drumming, storytelling, cooking, art, drama, parkour, and tie-dye. That's a favorite of everyone. And then if they're a little bit older, they get to be in the media arts camp. That's for junior high students. And they get to do everything technology-based. So we're looking at photography, videography. There's a GPC TV where the kids get to go around and interview people about what peace means to them. They do video editing, songwriting, music production, recording, and so much more. And we just have this incredible team of artists working upstairs with them to make all that possible. And then high school students have an opportunity to come and learn job skills through our volunteer programs. So if they do a good job, they even get a chance to earn a little stipend at the end of the week. So if you'd like to support this amazing camp, tuition's $100 per child. And you can contact me, Natalie, at 530-368-4455. That's 530-368-4455.
One of the coolest things I saw at your program was the party on Friday. Can you talk about that amazing party? Because every kid was having a great time.
On Friday is our grand finale. It's called a Peace Fest, and we invite all the families to join us. Families, babysitters, grandmas, sisters, brothers, everybody is welcome. And we have a lunch together, and there's performances, DJ workshops, snow cones, petting zoo, photo booths, a video game tournament, you name it. And the families get to actually participate and be interactive with these booths and get a taste of what their children have experienced throughout the week of Peace Camp. And, you know, our hope really with the whole camp and with the parents and the families getting to experience this, it's a very harmonious experience. Things work really well together and people get along. It's really amazing. And we're hoping that they can take what they experience there out into the world, take it to the playground at school, take it to their jobs. And so that's kind of our hope of bringing the families in.
Natalie and Rocky, my hope is that you will continue to promote peace in the world and we start one kid at a time. I thank you for everything you do. I look forward to being there this year at the Auburn Hip Hop Congress Peace Camp. All right, everybody, I've got a great show for you today because I am bringing in studio my favorite real estate expert in the whole world, Renee Nielsen. We're going to talk about how hot and sexy the Sacramento real estate market continues to be. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by Renee Nielsen, the real estate expert for the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and the surf is so up this morning because I'm staring at my favorite real estate person and friend in the world, and that is you, Renee Nielsen. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Thank you.
Renee, I love to start our interviews off with the obvious. You and I know that 14% of the world is going to move. So can you and I talk about the market, what is happening in Sacramento? I love your real estate updates.
Oh, thank you, Ronnie. Well, as we know, this last year, every time I'm in here, about every month, we talk about, hey, the market keeps going up. The market keeps going up. So I want to address the scenarios of what happens when the market's going up and kind of what we can expect moving forward or questions that you might have. So, for example, I want to talk about the question you might have about home affordability. So as the market keeps moving up, now we wonder, can we move into this house that we wanted to move into, right? So let's look back at from 1990. So about 30 years ago, we know that incomes now have doubled from 1990. But we also know that home prices have tripled since 1990. So what we're seeing is home pricing is outpacing the income and job market. We also know right now that 50% of the housing in California is rentals, which is a lot larger portion than historical numbers. Our average selling time in 2010 was about 50 days. As of last year, it was 20 days. So we're seeing the selling time decrease. There's a backlog of foreclosures that are basically gone, right? It used to be foreclosures everywhere, short sales everywhere. Those are fairly rare. And what we basically were seeing is we are seeing a huge shortage of homes. We had 1.3 million jobs that have recovered since the crash, and our unemployment is below 5%. Our stock market is doing really well across many of the indexes that we're seeing. So basically what we're seeing is we are just seeing not enough housing. So the demand is so much higher and we see the jobs are recovering. So many people that need housing and not enough income. So if you have any questions on income and housing and how you fit in and what we can do to get you into a home, give me a call at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832.
Renee, what I love about that discussion is everything looks great. All of the numbers and the stars are aligned. And yet, home prices have tripled. Are we anywhere near a bubble, Renee? Or should we not even talk about the B word?
Okay, so the California Association of Realtors does all of these data and market studies. And basically what it is the low unemployment, you know, businesses are going strong, the market's going strong, and we have a low amount of housing availability. And so they full on believe that unless there's some external force that completely changes things, that right now it's going to continue to progress. So they don't feel like we're at the tipping point. Now, there's going to be a time, in my opinion, where things just have to level out because you can't be at such a drastic change between how much income people have versus the home pricing.
And you know, Renee, that's going to lead beautifully into my closing segment today about universal basic income. All right, so Renee, what I want to talk about now is so many Sacramentans who own homes and want to sell it. Right? They want to sell their home at top dollar. What is your recommendation? What is a less stressful way for homeowners to sell their homes?
Well, thank you for mentioning least stressful, because that is the best way to set yourself up. There is not one real estate transaction that doesn't have a little bit of stress in there. So we just want to make it go as smoothly as possible. So in preparation for your home, I know I've talked many times about merchandising your home, basically getting it really, really clean and staging it. So I'm going to skip over that today. But I really want to talk about the preparation of the structure. And so there's a couple things you can do. You can do inspections. And one of the inspections that you should do beforehand is a pest inspection. Basically, what we're doing with these inspections is we're looking for all the things that the buyer's going to look for anyway, but we're being proactive and doing it now. I also want to let you guys know, I have this question so many times. What is the pest inspection? Just so you know, we're not looking for ants and spiders, you know, and all those crazy things. People do think that, and but the word pest, you would think that too, possibly. But we're looking for wood-destroying pests and water damage. You know, we don't want somebody to fall through the porch, basically, when they get to the home. So if you have questions on that particular inspection or any others or how to get your home ready to sell, please give me a call at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832.
For those of you just joining us, I've got Renee Nielsen in studio, which means I won the lottery. Okay, Renee, I want to continue the discussion on real estate and as it relates to my mom's house, because you are going to be the listing agent, and we did have that pest inspection. So can you and I talk a little bit about the action items that a homeowner needs to take if that if that inspection lists certain things? Because my mom's home has that issue.
Well, I want to continue on the topic of, well, we did the pest inspection, right? And we also did a general inspection. We invited a contractor out there, but there's also people who do general inspections that aren't necessarily contractors. And what they do is they come through and itemize everything that they see as a problem or could be a potential problem, and they put them into different categories. Some are very important. The other items are just potential, you know, modifications you can make to update the home and make it, you know, really tight. But some of the things that you really want to take a look at are your HVAC. So that's your heat and air conditioning. For example, I had a house once where the pilot light wasn't on. So the inspector came out and said it wasn't working. And so you don't want those things on your report, because you have to disclose all the reports that come up, right? So, or you want to get them addressed beforehand so you can say, hey, we totally took care of that. It was just the pilot light. No big deal. We don't need it to do a $10,000 replacement of the HVAC. We just needed a light. We needed to light something. So to be smarter. Also, for example, you know, the inspector will check, you know, the electrical prongs. Is it a 3-prong? Do you have an older home where everything's 2-prong? You know, are things grounded the way that they should be? You know, roof inspections, actually, most of the time, roof inspections are free unless you live way out the road like your mom does. Okay. They pay for your roof inspection. But roof doctors will do a general inspection for you, typically, and then they'll list all the items that need to be repaired. Again, you want to look for, you know, various things. Sometimes older homes, you really want to check in advance the sewer line, and that's because at some point that sewer line is going to corrode. And so if you have any questions on all of the many, many items that you want to check beforehand, so that way you can address them before we go to list, give me a call at 833-697-3832 and I'll help you.
Now, Renee, you are crazy about tech stuff and you like to see all those things in homes. Can you give us an update on technology and some of the dangers? And as producer Mike refers to, that double-edged sword.
Absolutely, Ronnie. So I got a notice in my email the other day about the new home trend being countertops that can charge for you, appliances and the cell phones. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I don't know if I want a countertop in my home that does that. But I did a little research, and basically what happens is it's the DuPont Corian and the Zodiac Quartz counters, and they can hollow out an area in the product, and they can put an inductive charger in there, and then you mark the spot where you're supposed to set your cell phone and it will charge for you, or an appliance. So the appliances are getting smart these days. The thing, though, that you really need to be careful of is when you go to move, you want to change all your all your, or have them change all the passwords, or you change the passwords. I'm not sure exactly who needs to do what. Double check that, because you don't want the old homeowner checking the new homeowner's information, messages, and cameras all over the house. Wink, wink, if you know what I mean. So double check those things. But technology is amazing and can do amazing things. So if you have questions on that, call me again at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. I guarantee we'll have a great time chatting.
And I want to remind our listeners, if you go to an open house, watch what you say, because I assure you, they have cameras and everything is being recorded. Thank you so much, Renee. All right, I've got to take a break right now, but I've got a great closing segment, because I'm talking about universal basic income and the city of Stockton, because they're the first city in our country to give away free money. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arnold Almonte.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I love this next segment because we are talking about the future and what the city of Stockton is doing for a lucky 100 residents. You see, as you know, the city of Stockton has about 300,000, 400,000 residents, and they've been struggling like many other cities throughout our state. In fact, the city of Stockton had to go bankrupt back in, 2010? So believe me, they have been doing everything possible to get themselves out of that hole, which is why they have now implemented a new policy called the Universal Basic Income Policy. And with this policy, the city of Stockton is going to give 100 of their residents $500 a month for the next 18 months. And there's absolutely no strings attached for getting this money. And the reason why the city of Stockton is implementing the Universal Basic Income Program is because they need to create an income floor that no one is going to be able to fall below. Because right now, the city of Stockton, believe it or not, 1/4 of all residents live in poverty, okay? Live in poverty. And you and I know what, $8,000 or below? Good luck living on that. Now, when you look at Stockton, they've got a medium household income of about $49,000 compared to $57,000 that the average is being made throughout California. Now, when you think about the term universal basic income, I know you're thinking, Ronnie, what do you mean? Stockton is just going to give $500 away every month for no reason at all? And there's absolutely no work or nothing that they have to do to earn it? Yep, that's what I'm saying. And what you need to realize is this is the wave of our future. And you want to know why? Not only does the city of Stockton and 1,000 other cities in the future are going to have to do this, because we've got to reduce poverty and safeguard against the job disruption that is coming because of automation. I mean, if you go online right now and you take a look at all of the jobs that are going to be lost to automation, you are going to be shocked. And I also want you to know what's going to surprise you is who supports universal basic income. Well, you guessed it, the really rich technology companies. And of course, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, and Mark Zuckerberg. Of course, these men support the universal basic income paid to you by our government, because these men are going to build more robots and more artificial intelligence that is going to put 30 million Americans out of work in the next 5 to 10 years. Now, I want you to know something. In 2020, you and I are going to see the largest pool of displaced workers that we have ever seen in the past 50 years, which means universal basic income is going to become your kid's best friend, your grandkid's best friend. Because you know what? unlike the days when you and I were younger, and we can go to college at Cal Berkeley, and then we can get advanced education and get great jobs, times are different now. It's not like you can just go to school, work hard, and get ahead, because I'm telling you right now, we've got serious income inequality in our state, and it's getting out of control. I mean, just look at the fact at who pays the taxes in California, because it's not going to surprise you. 1% of the entire state population pays 50% of all the taxes in the state of California. Now, what happens when all of these rich people leave our state? Which right now, you have millionaires leaving our state in the masses, which means our tax base is going to decrease and we're going to have a serious problem with revenue and jobs. Now, the Universal Basic Income Program is slated to start in 2019. And you and I know what the hope is. We're going to hopefully get rid of poverty and we're going to help those in need. But here's my question for you this morning, and it's deep. Do you believe that giving $500 a month to 100 poor people in Stockton is going to improve the children's lives in that family? Will the kids go to school more often? Will the kids have better attendance? Do you think, in fact, that these kids might even have better health? Because I have to tell you something. Do you realize that this Stockton experiment, right? It's the first in the United States, but universal basic income is already going on in Finland, Cambodia, Canada, and even Kenya. And you know what else? The city of Oakland is starting another pilot program, and that's coming in 2020. And 1,000 residents in Oakland are going to get paid $1,000 a month for up to 5 years. So the question that I have is, will people who receive free money through this program, are they going to abuse it? Are they going to spend this money on alcohol, drugs, and other vices? What are your thoughts? Because I can tell you something. If I was hungry and I was starving and I had nowhere to go, I think I would spend that money on food. Well, the great news is we actually have information about what's going on in Kenya. Now, I realize that Kenya is not America, and Kenya is like a totally different third world. However, I think we can still learn some basic facts, because a village in Kenya actually is quietly disproving the biggest myth about basic income. Because there's been a 12-year study, and here's what we've learned. The people in Kenya receiving this money typically spend free cash on necessities, right? Contrary to the prevailing myths, people don't seem to work less or get lazier or waste the money on vices like alcohol. Now, of course, more research is going to have to be done, because you and I have no idea how the residents of California who get $500 a month or $1,000 a month are going to spend it. However, I would love to believe that there is not going to be a lot of abuse and that this can and will be a successful program. Now, of course, I think the biggest question that you, my producer Mike, and I have this morning is, who in the world is going to pay for all of the free money that our government is going to have to give out to 100,000, 200,000, 2 million, 10 million, or 30 million Americans? Because the robot age is here. And based on what businessman Andrew Yancey said, and by the way, Andrew is running for president in 2020. He's a Democrat. He wants to implement universal basic income for you if you are 18 to 65 years old. Yes, we've got a Democrat running for president, and this is at the top of his list. So I just want to know, who is going to pay for this? Because if you and I have robots taking over your jobs, don't you think the companies that are making billions of dollars off of displacing you should pay for this? That includes you, Elon Musk, you, Amazon, you, Apple, you, Facebook. My opinion is that you, the taxpayer, shouldn't be stuck paying this bill. Oh, and boy, the spill is not going to be pretty. So what you need to understand is I am 100% for helping those in need, okay? I don't want kids to starve to death. I want you to thrive and have a chance to succeed in our great country. I just want to know who is going to pay for this. Because you and I already know in the state of California, we have the largest bureaucracy because of our blue ideology. You already know that. So I just want to make sure that when universal basic income is launched in California, you, the taxpayer, is not stuck paying for it. Because I got great news for you. Right now, there is an industry in Europe that is taking advantage of robots, and it's called the sex trade industry. And you know what I learned? They are opening up sex doll brothels all over Europe. You see, if you are going to have robots who are going to be doing all sorts of things, I don't think you and I should have to pick up the tab for the consequences, like more divorce. But my point to you is simple. I believe that automation and robots are going to take over the world, and I want one. I want a robot who's going to cook and clean and walk my dogs. I don't want a sex robot. I just want to make sure that you are prepared for universal basic income, and you are aware of the consequences, and you are aware that your generosity in our great state may lead you to pay for all of this. All right, everybody, I am out of time, but I hope you enjoyed the show today. I want to make sure and thank you so much for your support. Make sure that you visit our website, RonnieDeutschRadio.com. Hey, maybe you can even like us at Ronnie Deutsch Radio. Bottom line is, Mr. Roboto is on his way here, so you better embrace it. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.